Today on the Mike O'Mara Show.
Sugar, sugar, sugar
is,
you know, this is, I should point out, a diabetes medicine that I'm on. And so I think it really doesn't like it when you put that in your body.
Sort of a but internal fight.
Look, maybe more than once, Carla said, I thought that was supposed to curb your appetite. And I'm like, why don't you just shut up? Why don't you just shut up, please?
Maybe there's a medicine that could curb talking that you could take.
Russell Crowe's character. He died in the original Gladiator.
Yes, he
did.
Yeah.
Spoiler alert.
If you're missing out on your 30-year-old movies, Pony, spoiler alert.
Oh, what?
And I'm thinking in my head, I'm like, is it the laughing gas or is this going to be great on the show? Like, maybe it's not funny and I just think it's funny. And all these things are going through
Trust
my head.
Trust me, it's funny.
All that and more. The Mike O'Mara Show starts now. Mike O'Mara, Radio Entertainment. You can listen to The Mike O'Mara Show at MikeO'MaraShow.com.
Let's get started.
It's The Mike O'Mara Show with Mike O'Mara, Oscar Santana, and Rob Spiewak. Now, here's Mike.
Live from Poddil Media in Washington, D.C. and around the world, great cities like Summit, New Jersey, Robinson, Illinois.
I'm using my new camera location now.
Cabo Rojo in Puerto Rico.
Yes.
Trapani, Sicily in Italy, Bucharest, Romania, and NOLA, New Orleans, Louisiana.
Yeah, how about
that? As we count down to New Orleans and what may be the last live show we do, which, I've determined Oscar and I did a lot of work over the weekend.
Yes.
And it's putting, and I'm looking forward to it. Don't get me wrong.
Okay.
But sometimes the details can get a little overwhelming, and it's going to be fun, and we're looking forward to it. We have a great venue. And we're looking forward to seeing, a few hundred of you that are making your way to New Orleans. Some of you maybe for the whole week. I have no idea. But we have some amazing stuff planned. And, it may be the last time based on costs incurred with everybody getting down there and
sure.
doing that.
Yeah.
It's just a tough thing to do. We're victims of inflation like everybody else. But we are, looking forward to that. And we are excited about it. And it's New Orleans, Louisiana. Yeah,
thanks a lot, Southwest Airlines.
it should be fun. And most of us will be getting into town Wednesday, Thursday. And Zoolander already reached out to me for NOLA and, says, Casino Friday night. He's a degenerate gambler
He is. He reached out to me and he reached out to Carrie. He's doing something crazy. He got a better airfare. He's flying out of Richmond.
That's driving a drive.
That is. But if it saves him some cash. But the thing I am most excited about, and Carrie and I talked a lot about it this week. Carrie has never gone to an away game live show. So she's thrilled to be a part of it. And she's got a couple of her cousins coming in from Austin, Texas, which is
cousins!
Cool. But what I'm excited about is Julia, my daughter, and her boyfriend Jack are coming. And Julia has never seen the show in that form, and with all the people and the live element, and it'll be very cool for me to be able to see my daughter see that.
You will not die of pneumonia though prior to the show, right? You sound like we work together all the time. Are you okay on the chest?
Absolutely.
Tell me the truth.
Yes.
Okay. You
100%.
Sound a little, you sound a little raspy, so I just want to make sure.
It's my sexy New Orleans voice. I'm trying it out.
Hey, Pony.
Yes.
He never lets me in. He never lets me in.
No, if I were to tell you what it is, Mike, you'd just get mad. The allergies are crazy up here. That's what it is.
Just, because here in the O'Mara household, my son has had
the
grip.
Yeah, what is the tracking of the medical?
The grip?
Yeah.
My son has had it, and my wife now has it on a lesser scale. I felt all weekend like something was brewing. And I'm 100%. So I feel as though I've dodged a bullet and we'll see what happens. And who was I talking to or watching where, someone got sick on the plane coming back? I think I might mask wear on the way down there, because not because of COVID, but because of just the Grizzlies that are on airplanes.
Sure.
I think it might be a prudent thing, not constantly, but like when you get in your seat, if you're sleeping or something like that, it might not be a bad idea.
Never hurts.
To do that. So we are looking forward to it. We got some hysterical stuff planned for that show. And it's going to be a show that is a tribute to the ladies. That's the theme.
I agree.
The ladies will rule the roost this year. So that, you know, read into that what you want for New Orleans, Louisiana. And we look forward to seeing you. Ladies, got my friends coming down. I'm mapping out the day. And by the way, if you're expecting to see me at a casino anytime on the weekend, I will be at the casino in Las Vegas.
Oh.
Just be aware of that. I will be flying in for the show itself, but I will be at a casino.
You're doing like the Tom Joyner thing where in between shows you'll be flying to another location?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. That'll be great.
Is he still on the radio, Tom Joyner?
I don't know. I do not know.
I haven't heard that name in a million years. Tell everybody that might not know who Tom Joyner is or was.
He was a boss jock that did a morning show, and he was famous for doing one show in one market. And
wasn't the format Urban Contemporary when
it was
called Urban
Contemporary? But he was a funny morning guy, comic guy, and he would fly to another market and do afternoons and then fly back in time to do mornings again, which is a lousy
Joyner
schedule.
Joyner is the former host
of
the nationally syndicated Tom Joyner Morning Show and also founder of Reach Media. Let me see if he's, Born 1949, died.
No,
I'm kidding. I'm just
Mike. What
I'm
the hell is the matter with you?
Just where he's 73.
Well, yeah, that's young these days.
He's 73.
That's the new 43.
He is 10 years older than I am. Mm-hmm. I didn't realize. So he probably maybe retired. That can happen occasionally.
Sure.
I'm looking him up right now. Tom.
Maybe he's
have something where it's like it's the Tom Joyner Show or something.
Maybe.
Like that.
Maybe could be. Could
radio
be.
Career. Upon signing a contract extension with Westwood in October
That's a of great outfit.
2017, we worked for
Westwood. Wow, he signed with Westwood in 2017 when they were at the top of their power?
Joyner announced he would retire at the agreement's end in 2019, declaring, I'm retiring, and for the next 2 years, we're going to reminisce, go down. So he's done.
Okay, well, best
to
him.
So that shows how old we are, but that's Tom Joyner. I remember him being okay.
Yeah. Yeah. I do too.
That's how I remember. I'm
wondering if he is all there, if he signed with Westwood in 2017, but I'm sure he's
last
fine.
Last run.
Yeah.
Let me tell you about my Easter, if you don't mind. I wanted
and Mike,
to.
Happy Easter. He has risen.
Happy Easter. When you put up your post with quotes from the Lord, were you writing down lyrics of a James Brown song?
Yeah, it's the those are the lyrics from his song in the Blues Brothers. And I had dreamt about that song overnight, and I said, I don't know what he sings in that. I've seen the Blues Brothers, 200 times probably. And I love that sequence where James Brown sings in his church, the old Landmark. Right. But I finally Googled the lyrics, and it's they're all there, but still imperceptible. So,
do you think that I had thought when I read that, with everything you've been through, I thought perhaps you might have found God?
No, not at all.
It's when people go through massive upheaval in their life that they find that. I mean, look, the old adage, it's an ancient reference, but there are no atheists in foxholes.
That's true.
I agree with that. I don't know what I would do. I mean, it's difficult.
I come from a fairly religious family. My grandmother, my maternal grandmother, had a picture of the Pope in the dining room. My paternal grandmother had statuary, like the Infant of Prague, in her bedroom. So, I mean, they were wickedly Catholic. And I don't begrudge anyone who has religious faith, and I occasionally went to church.
Well, let me tell you, speaking of wickedly Catholic, I will tell you that the line right around the corner, right off my main drag, you guys were on that main road that comes to my house,
sure.
Where you've got all the communities. If you go up a little ways, there is the massive, massive church. I believe it's Our Lady of the Red Pencil. And
That's a good one. Yeah.
It is huge.
Yeah.
Huge. And I've never seen it like this. Now, they have police presence there because it is such a well-attended church anyway.
Well, because the cops are all Irish.
And, that's right, Clancy. No, Italian. The chief sheriff, the head poobah, is a guy named Carmine.
Oh, that's right. Is he the guy that has his pictures around town?
Yep.
Yeah, I liked him. He was good.
There's the bus where they pick up protesters. Carmine's face on the side of it.
Florida is like another planet at times. It's truly wonderful. But so, I'm sorry, big church.
The line was absolutely massive. And I remember when I was a kid, being a regular attender of Mass, that my mother in particular would not like what she called the Easter Catholics.
Yes.
For some reason, people, maybe because it's the second biggest holiday in the Catholic Church, people like to get excited and go to church on Easter. It's part of the thing.
Get all dressed up, yeah.
They reflect on that, you know, and it's not just it's not just bunnies and eggs. Bunnies and eggs,
candy,
everyone.
The candy.
So it was super, super
packed. I always liked, Mike, did you ever do a sunrise service?
I don't think I did. I always liked those. Midnight masses.
That was more of a Christmas thing, wasn't it?
That was more of a drunken thing.
Kidding,
of course.
You didn't smell too much like red wine at the midnight mass,
I love midnight mass, but the sunrise service, I've always thought those are cool because the bottom line is there are people that just can't make that morning bell.
Yeah, that's true.
And so it's probably less traveled. But, I'm not, I don't want to say that I'm atheist or agnostic or any of that. I just don't practice any particular reason, religion, and I haven't for quite some time.
Maybe you're like me. You see, I mean, the tenets of religion are great, but when it gets to be organized religion, there's always something about it. There's usually something or someone that makes it a little less savory to me, a little less appealing. So I have my faith, I have my beliefs, but I don't need to go and stand up, sit down, kneel to prove it. And that's where I'm at. I mean, I spoke to the big man when I was sick, but no more than normal. No more than normal, I don't think.
Did you feel more during your rough period? Did you feel more like you needed to check in?
No. You know, I felt more like checking in when Robert was sick 20 years ago. That was something, and I've sort of remained that way. You know,
did you ever do one of the, you hear people all the time, and I don't mean to get heavy about
not at
religion
all.
Right now, but you hear people all the time that say, if he can make it through this, if I can make it through this particular situation, if I can get through this particular period in time, I will change my ways and I will go to Mass every Sunday. I will go to church. You didn't.
I never struck a deal. I do remember this, and this is one thing that stays with me, and if you think I'm a kook, that's fine. But when my son Robert was in his first 30 days of being treated for leukemia, and they had a game plan, but we didn't know how successful it was going to be. And there was a lot of time when we were sort of, you know, questions were in front of us all the time. Carrie and I took turns sleeping at the hospital, and I remember laying in the world's most uncomfortable chair and trying to go to sleep, and he was asleep with all the machines hooked up to him.
They do recline, but they're not very good.
No, they're horrible. They're horrible. And I was at a larger state in my life at that point, and so it was especially uncomfortable. And I remember having a little internal conversation saying, you know, I understand there is a master plan and everything happens for a reason, but this is my little boy, and I want some guidance. And what happens if something bad happens to him? What if this is going to be something with an unhappy ending? And at that moment, it wasn't raining. It was summertime or springtime, and there was no weather outside. And just out of nowhere, there was a thunderclap outside. Right when I was pondering that question, and I said, "Okay, I'll take it. That's a pretty good sign." And he turned out fine. So yeah, do I believe there is a presence? Yes. Do I believe it's very comforting? Yes.
Right. But I don't begrudge anybody. Whatever floats your boat. It's a family activity, and there's certainly worse things you could be doing with your time than loading the family into the car on Easter Sunday, whether you go once a year or not. Whatever floats people's boat. I don't, you know, judge not. If you want the one thing in the Bible that I've always paid, judge not lest you be judged. On the big issues. On the little issues, I judge everybody every day.
Well, of course. And that's
every
your prerogative.
Single
Carrie threatened to go to church on Easter because she has a church that she likes. that she used to actually do daycare for as one of her gig things. And she said she was going to go back, and she overslept and she didn't go. And I said, you didn't go to church? And she said, well, yeah, I didn't want to go on Easter, just like out of the blue, because it's going to be crowded. And I said, well, why do you feel the need to go to church? She says, well, I'd like to get to know a pastor. I said, why? She says, well, we can't live forever. Need to know a pastor. I said, well,
I felt that way many, many different times, where I would feel as though it's necessary because I'd go to a service.
Right.
And
it makes you think.
I don't like services that aren't religious. Now, that's weird, and that's hypocritical on my part. But at the same time, I'm not ready to, you know. We went to a place where my son and you and Oscar were there.
Yeah.
Was baptized, and then that turned into a bit of a, you know, an S storm, so we didn't do that. I don't know. It's like whatever floats your boat, it's fine.
I told Carrie she doesn't need to find a pastor, because you'd be glad to handle all the speaking.
Absolutely.
Thank
I will
you.
Do the service and everything.
And you'll have it catered.
Right. Yay, though I walk through the valley of the King's Dominion rides, I will fear. So Easter is the one time that we load up the fam and we travel down to Happy Valley
to
go to one of their specialty brunches that they have.
Now, yes.
They do things down here for all of the holidays. They always do. They do things for all of the holidays, and but the Easter one, they put it out. They put out the spread.
Yeah.
And, you know, I've been on the fat drug.
Yes.
And so the fat drug, a couple of times during the day on Easter Sunday, let me put it to you this way. Carla would look at me and say, isn't your medicine, like, preventing you from having an appetite?
And isn't Sunday like a key day for you? Because if you get the shot on Thursday, it should be cresting on Sunday.
Here's what happened. First of all, I go down there, and I'm excited because I know there's lots of protein. There's meat.
Ham.
There are little shrimpies that are delicious. I don't eat the ham. Not a ham guy.
Really?
No, and it was beautiful, too. It was beautiful. It was like crisscross sliced.
It's so nice to visit the ham.
Well, the ham was sitting there and ignored, and people went right for the lamb, and they went for it right for the
what is the average buff. Age when they're leaning towards lamb?
Lamb. There you know, families. It was all families with old, young in between. Bring the kids in.
I can eat lamb, but it's so low on my protein list. It's not a favorite.
I love it. I love it. I enjoy it, but I didn't eat a lot. I had a few slices of lamb and a few slices of beef. Now, the slices were, no. By the way, it was lovely. And I would have been fine, but then they have something that they really do a good job with.
Before you move on, a question about the beef. Was it a standing carving station?
No. Not one of those big, giant steamship things. It was just a little piece of meat that they were cutting pieces of. It was delicious. Beautifully done.
Nice.
Really, really, really expensive. I took my son and my wife and my mother-in-law, and we did it last year. And the only thing I remember about last year is, for one of the rare times in modern history, in my life, they asked me to put on a jacket, because I came down there with dress pants and a very nice shirt, and I didn't have a jacket, and they asked me to put one on. This year, where they put on the invite, jackets required. Jackets required, and there were 9-10 dudes that nobody asked them to put on a jacket. I feel singled out.
Of course you are. Of course.
I really
You've
do.
You've always
anyway.
Been a target there.
I'm a target. If somebody's going to tell somebody to put a jacket on, take a hat off, whatever it's going to be, if there's somebody violating it, it's me.
Did they
it's
give you a jacket when they were giving you grief? Did they give you a jacket?
Yeah,
was it comically undersized?
They said, here's your jacket, and it was ridiculous. And I said, at that particular time, any jacket would fit small on me.
Of course.
But they said I could take it off at the table. So I did that. And
what's
then this
the
year,
point?
I'm all about my jacket, wearing my old tweed sport coat, and wearing that down there, looking real Eastery.
Yeah.
And then I was frustrated because there were a lot of people rolling around there without jackets, but... The stylish guy, we'll get to him later, was Michael William, who knows how to put it on.
He does.
Knows how to style. Even though I picked out the outfit, he put the final touches on it, and he looked great. However, getting back to the eating, so I would have been fine
yes.
if I'd stuck with the protein, the minimal amount of protein, and then called it a day. However, they have little baby crab cakes that they had in a chafing dish down there. And
yes.
these things, for all you Marylanders that know no crab cakes,
yes.
you know these were, I've had them before. That's their standard that they blast out for the specialty events. And I hit these things, and I took three of them. And when I took three of them, the carbs, because they bind them with
yeah.
like crackers or breading or whatever.
Crackers,
that's what triggered
yeah.
my inner carb demon.
Right.
And the inner carb demon ended up, this is how it manifested itself. I ate my crab cakes.
Yes.
I did one more trip back to get more. Now, they're mini ones. They're about that big.
Like okay? golf ball size? Yeah, that, maybe yeah, a little smaller?
Maybe a little bigger than golf ball size.
Okay.
And I went back and I got more. And then, and I would have been even fine with that. But then my son went to the dessert place, the counter where they had all the different little cupcakes and they had little pieces of pie. And it was a phenomenal spread.
Was the Carb Monster in power?
Great, yeah, what's it?
It's the Carb Monster, well, Mike.
The Carb Monster. I was I can't counter. I have no sound effects. I've destroyed them all. But anyhow, no, I have a computer that doesn't work. So Rob's got access to all the sound. That's the way it'll be forever. So I go back and I begin to have what Carla refers to as the hook.
What's the hook?
The hook is me reaching over to my son's plate.
Oh, okay.
And when he brings, he was just getting ready to, he makes his way out to, that's the Carb Monster, makes his way over to the dessert area.
Yes.
And the hook goes, because he's got an entire crab cake that he has left untouched.
Because he was thinking dessert. He's thinking dessert.
Yeah, I'm frustrated because it's there. I know, you know, that's crab meat.
Yes.
That's like gold.
Sure.
You don't leave that. So I took one, and then he brings the dessert over and kind of pecks at that, and then I take that, and then I made a trip to the dessert counter, and I got a, and by the way, none of this should I be touching.
Right.
To be perfectly honest with you, all of this is going to blast me out of my calorie count for the day. But I kind of knew we were going to have that one.
Carla, are you still feeling? Are you still feeling it today? Because you've been so light on carbs.
No, I'm doing okay. I'm doing
good.
Okay.
It's good.
It's yesterday late afternoon watching the Masters, and at night where. Well, I'll get to that.
All right.
So I go back, and the only thing I get is a sugar cookie and coconut crunch ice cream. And that's it. Coconut ice cream for fat people. It's because it's just fatty fat McFat.
Yeah, you're
that's
right.
What you're
right.
It sounds fat. It is fat. And it's what you. So I'm.
Flavor is exquisite, though.
I take down the little bowl of ice cream,
yes.
one scoop. And the sugar cookie, big one, in the shape of an Easter bunny rabbit, and I'm chewing on that. And then the hook comes out because my son's done a couple of runs.
Yes.
And the worst part was when he left in a bowl this big, he left about 3/4 of his chocolate ice cream,
ooh.
Which he had put sprinkles in.
Yes.
And I killed it. I ate it.
You have to. Otherwise, Mike, there's kids starving.
I begin to feel nausea in the car on the way home. If you want to know what some of these semaglutide products can do to you, well, your body is not reacting the way it should when you eat this stuff. My body used to go, how about a sleep? Now the reaction is kind of indigestion.
Is this the first time you've had that side effect?
This extensive. It was like my
wow.
body was saying, what did you do? I haven't eaten like this in 3 months.
What the hell are you doing?
I mean, I ate the wings with you guys,
yeah.
but the sugar content, sugar
yeah.
is, you know, this is, I should point out, a diabetes medicine that I'm on. And so I think it really doesn't like it when you put that in your body.
Sort of a but, internal fight.
Look, maybe more than once, Carla said, I thought that was supposed to curb your appetite. And I'm like, why don't you just shut up? Why don't you just shut up, please?
Maybe there's a medicine that could curb talking that you could take.
I didn't. It was, look, in the large scheme of things, the way I used to knock out a buffet, forget about it. Then I got home, was feeling nasty during the rest of the day, ended up with a protein bar at night, and still felt, you know, my tummy was off all night, and so back on track today. But good. I don't know what the calorie count was, because that's another thing. Yeah, one day, Easter Sunday, we go to a big you know, brunch that I'm
holiday.
Paying a lot of money for, and I said, F it. The family looked great. Michael, the day before, was I had taken him to the store to get him, because he's growing like a weed.
Yes.
And I wanted to get him, and man, oh man, to the good people at the Macy's department store.
Wow.
In Fort Myers, Florida.
Old school Macy's.
Old neighborhood Macy's. Deep into Fort Myers.
Okay.
All right? The mall that they have some issues. There are
is that
occasional
where we went
shootings
to,
at the mall.
Did we visit a Dillard's there at that mall?
No.
No. Okay.
Not that mall.
Okay.
No, this is one. So no. Macy's has this wonderful selection of stuff, and he had a meeting with don't make fun of me here.
Okay.
He had a meeting with a life coach to teach him strategies on how to get through his day.
How old is Michael?
He's 9, and it's not really a therapist, but you can call it somebody who's helping him manage anxiety.
The life coach is 12 years old?
This is one of the people that is in Carla's networking group, and she
okay.
was fantastic, and she had him for 2 hours. And he did great with it. And the thing that Carl and I do, if there's something out there that gives him some assistance in whatever way we can, we do it for
him. A leg up, sure.
And he loved it. And they did exercises for sleeping better. They did exercises for when he gets upset to curb that. It was just great. And he enjoyed it and he liked it. And it was worth it. But during that time, I went to get him. He's 9 years old, soon to be 10. I went to get him a jacket and a pair of pants and a shirt. And I got size 10, thinking he's 9. He's soon to be 10. That'll be fine.
Yeah.
No such luck. My son is a 12.
Yeah.
He is a 12
showing a lot
height.
Of wrist.
He is. He just did. You could tell the shirt was tight.
Okay.
The
right.
pants didn't fit. And he's not only getting a little bit tall, but, he's a stocky kid.
As a rule, is the size in kids' clothes, and it's been so long for me, is it supposed to correspond with their age?
I think maybe, but I don't
know. Is that why I used to wear a 52?
I don't know. I'm not quite sure, but I knew that if it didn't fit, I'd take him right back
sure.
to the store.
Yeah.
And we go back into the store, and this is where we'll be able to try everything on, and it's going to be great. And he got all the clothes picked out that he wanted. And then it's time to go over to the fitting room. And for anybody that's experienced retail, you might know what I'm talking about. We go over, and the store is not super crowded, but it's not empty either. There are a lot of people that are poking around, and I think probably doing the same thing we're doing the day before the holiday. And we get over, and I said, can you let us into the fitting rooms? And the lady comes over, and there are 6 in a little kiosk in the center of the floor. 3 on one side, 3 on the other. And the lady says, no, they're closed, sir. But there are 2 on the other side. And I look across, and there are 4 people in line for the only 2 fitting rooms. And I realized that I read up on this after the fact. I immediately thought, theft prevention.
That'll be my thought, yeah.
And I'm right, because they're closing stores in certain cities. Portland, Oregon comes to mind, where they're closing stores because of theft.
Yeah.
And I realized that during COVID, they also closed these fitting rooms. You weren't allowed to do that.
Right.
You had to take everything home. And I think they kept them closed. And I think it's ultimately a pain in the ass for employees. But if you're going to keep retail outlets open and you're going to sell clothing, I think the fitting room is perhaps a decent idea.
Well, it's key. It's key. And it saves them time in the long run. Although there is one thing about fitting rooms I hate. Mm-hmm. Is pins. When you're trying on a shirt and you have to take out pins, there's no good place
to put
a pin.
Think how it is for the employees.
There. I know. That would
suck.
They'd
have to go in there with that. But there were 2, and it was glacial.
Ugh.
And I realized what this is why traditional retail, is going by the by.
Yeah.
You know, Has it died completely? Not at all. People like to go out to shops. I see it down here.
Was it an older clientele waiting for the fitting rooms?
No, every age pop. There's an old man trying on shirts. There was a young couple with a guy in there trying on shirts. And there was a couple with their kid who was doing the same thing we were doing. So I got him this really cool, super Eastery jacket with some blue pants and a pink shirt. He looked
nice,
styling. And then yesterday, when he busts out for the show, he had himself, from previous little dandy outfits he's put together, he had himself the clip-on bow tie that just brought the
fantastic
whole thing together. And he looked great, and he was styling, and it was a good time. Me, you know, I was a little more challenged. Because let's just say Mr. O'Mara going into the deep rack, thinking that he had moved into certain size areas, perhaps not that accurate.
Optimistic.
Perhaps not.
You are optimistic, and you know what? Sometimes that works against you.
I am in a no man's land of caught between clown jacket and Pee Wee Herman.
I've been
there.
That's where I
live right now.
I have been there.
And it is not a good place to be, and it makes you break a sweat right before you're going to leave. But I solved the problem with long golf pants, which are sporting pants and look fitted and look really, really nice. And I think a sport coat that I've had probably since the Carter administration.
That's good.
And it was during the Carter administration when my weight had spiked for a certain Thanksgiving. And I think I still have it. I just can't get rid of it. It has sentimental value.
I remember. Is that the jacket that has the button on it that says victory in the Falkland Islands?
Absolutely. Yes. Very, very exciting. Yeah. No, it says I like Ike. That's what it is. But all in all, really, really special. And then the one thing I have to throw in, and
yes,
I hate to do this because it makes me guilty, especially when Oscar's not here.
Right.
And I'm just talking to you. It's the mimosas busted out. And Oscar and I had been dealing with some things for the show on Saturday. I was ready, and the mimosas came out. And I had three mimosas on top of what I had. When I got home, I turned on the Masters Golf Tournament, which was fantastic because basically two rounds on Sunday, sun up to sundown, you're watching live golf. For golf fans, it was spectacular, and I was ready to go.
Looked amazing.
It was fantastic, and I'll talk about it if I can later, just the telecast, and I certainly slam those guys enough,
yes,
but when they pull off the way, they make it better. CBS, you know, the gold standard when it comes to golf coverage. They've done it forever and got to watch that. They poured me one more mimosa. We stopped by and got three bottles of Prosecco and a half gallon of orange juice.
Were the mimosas you were drinking, if you were to describe them, were they closer to an opaque orange or sort of a transparent color?
Here is the champagne or the Prosecco that goes into the mimosa.
Yep.
Here's the orange juice.
Yeah, that's known as the Carrie Spiewak.
I drank it down to this level.
Yes.
And passed out on the couch.
Wow.
Completely out. I mean, sound asleep. Meanwhile, Mrs. O'Mara and her mom, the conversation was just like,
Prosecco is like truth serum. That'll get them talking.
They were having a great time. They were not having a great time when... we were on our way to the breakfast, the brunch, and Carla's mom asked if we had a babysitter for Friday when we're going to be gone, because Carla thought her mom was doing that, and it's fine, and it's worked out, and everything's cool, but there was this tension, and your boy right here decided that I was going to diffuse the tension. I was going to, you know, really, really try to make an improvement,
right.
And I did. And that's why, how do you do it? You bust out the champagne and orange juice.
That's good.
That's how you
do it.
That's
very good.
And everybody had a fantastic
and
day.
And 10 years old is a perfect age to be left at home.
No, he's not going to be left at home. He's just got a babysitter now.
That's fine.
And for a temporary period. And then Gammy's watching him for the weekend. That's what's going to happen. And I will be degenerate gambling in New Orleans with some of my bestest buddies. That's the way it's going to go.
And when she babysits, do you pay her in Prosecco?
No, not at all. She's fine. Everything's just fine. So anywho, it worked out great. I give Easter Sunday a I'm not going to give it a 10 because of the tummy,
yeah.
But I'm going to give it a good solid 9.5. It was a 9.5 between Eat, Drink, and Be Merry, the sports, having it on the same day, everybody free of any real tension. I diffused it myself.
Attaboy.
And I was happy, and everybody looked great, and my son was happy as well. It mm-hmm. was great, which means sometime this week for the show, something will go terribly wrong. That's what I think will happen. I just feel that, you know, because of those letters that I've done in basically 3D this time.
I love it. I think it looks
DGH.
Great. No hard-boiled eggs?
Don't get happy.
That's good. Well done.
Thank you very much. I appreciate that. How do you like the new camera? Yeah. We'll be right back.
Whether you're a dusty shin cracker or an anchor cranker, this week's bonus show has something for you.
What's the strongest part of your body, you think, right now?
I gotta be my mind.
Is there anything on your body that hasn't worn away yet?
I've got great nails.
You breathed on me when you were down here in the studio, and it sounded like a cat sh- in a bucket of milk.
I would like to see the President of the United States. He's a rock star.
And teeth are, they're not vegetables, they're fruits, right?
Snap your cap.
Take a chill pill, creeps.
Get on the gravy train and get a subscription to the TMOS bonus show. You'll go fuzz buttons over it. Get all the deets at MikeOmeraShow.com.
You're a wonderful dancer.
Fuzz buttons. Legacy Box is the perfect solution for digitally preserving your past. Just send in your legacy box with old tapes, reels, and photos and get back digital copies that can be easily enjoyed, shared, and organized. It's like magic. And it's done right here in the USA. Save your memories from heat, mold, and fire, not to mention that magnetic tape, like what's used in VHS and camcorder tapes. It was only made to last 10 to 20 years.
I bet mm-hmm. you didn't know that, did you?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Legacy Box is a super simple mail-in service to have all of your videotapes, camcorder tapes, film reels, and pictures converted to perfectly preserved digital files. They've helped over a million customers safeguard their past. We've all used it, and we all loved it. The memories they have preserved for me are invaluable. Join over 1 million families that have trusted Legacy Box and preserve your past. Plus, for a limited time, Legacy Box is running a $9 videotape sale that's 65% off. There's never been a better time to convert your entire collection, so visit legacybox.com/TMOS to shop their $9 tape sale. That's legacybox.com/TMOS to unlock this offer. And we thank you, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome back to the Mike O'Mara Show.
From the World Wide Web and into your digital device. It's what you need to know. This is the homepage.
This is the homepage, and we start today with the movie Babe. Almost 30 years ago, it made James Cromwell a vegan, believe it or not.
I didn't know that.
And it helped inspire his animal activism. And at 83, the man is still at it, which I think is special. Last week, Cromwell heard the story of a pig that fell off a truck on the way to get fattened for slaughter. So he and PETA are transferring it to an animal shelter in Pennsylvania where it will not be eaten. Isn't that wonderful? Isn't that special? That's wonderful. No, I mean, they're cute little piggies.
Yeah.
They even named the pig Babe.
Oh, that's
there
sweet.
There you go, for obvious reasons. Here's the best part. James FaceTimed the pig and said he looks forward to meeting him in person.
Okay, so he's lost his mind.
He ended the call with a, that'll do, pig. Is that what he said in the movie?
Yeah.
That'll do.
Just I like in Babe when the pig goes, la, la, la.
That's very exciting.
Thank you.
So does the pig really do that?
He does, yeah.
All right.
I haven't
seen
Babe.
Hey, do you have my shung?
I don't have your shung. I'm sorry.
Okay, shung.
Shung.
a state. Well, now, man, oh, man. I got to get my sound is gone.
I know. You need your sound.
I'm naked without sound. A stage musical version of Pony.
Yes.
Pony, I'm going to need you to come up with a short, brief sound that's going to be like, nah, shong,
okay.
That you'll have to do with your mouth when I cue you like this.
Okay.
All right, here we go. Let's start. I'll let you take this story to think about it, and then we'll have it between
the story. This will go well.
A stage musical. I don't need to hold my finger up again. A stage musical version of The Bodyguard in the UK had to be halted when a riot broke out. because the audience wouldn't stop singing along. It happened Friday night in Manchester. The show was stopped several times because audience members decided to participate in the program while others in the crowd were telling them to shut up. But it got unbearable during the showstopper, I Will Always Love You. So they cut the star's microphone and brought up the lights.
What are people doing? You don't sing along at a musical. It's not a concert.
That's the real. That's when the real chaos erupted. Variety says, quote, two women were forcibly pulled out of the theater by security. And several police cars arrived to oversee the evacuation of the theater after what patrons on social media described as fights in the aisles and even a mini riot. That's what happened. And this is not in the, you know, the old Wild West United States. This is in the genteel UK.
Well, yeah, so, Mike, remember, in a lot of ways, they're still the enemy.
The United Kingdom, back to no. You can do that with Russia, but don't do it with the UK.
All right. You know, just
we fought WW2. Come on.
They might have been playing along, but Mike, just remember 1812. Yes. It stings.
1812. Very good.
Burn the White House down.
Zhong.
The super wonderful. Don't encourage him.
I won't.
The Super Mario Brothers movie that my kid is going to today. My son has off today again.
Easter Monday.
Yeah. Because when you send them to a school like mine, it's $10 for every off day. Anyway.
But I'd like to remind people we're here on Easter Monday.
We're here on Easter Monday. It's not a holiday.
I know.
In my opinion.
Yeah.
The Super Mario Brothers movie broke the record for the biggest global opening for an animated film. $377 million, Mr. Powers. Also, Jack Black released a music video for Peaches. That's the ballad he sings with Bowser about Princess Peach. I know nothing about Super Mario.
Have you heard it? I don't either, but it's after my sort of days of video gaming. But Jack Black, I love when he sings. I have for a long time. This is him singing his song Peaches.
Peaches, 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 peaches. I love you. Mario, Luigi, and a Donkey Kong too. A thousand troops of Koopas couldn't keep me from you. Princess Peach at the end of the line. I'll make you mine. Oh, peaches, 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 peaches.
That gives you an idea of it.
I love it, though.
I do, too. I love him singing.
And I mean, Jack Black... a voice for animation unlike any actor I've known in recent times.
Yeah.
Fantastic.
Good singer.
The movie made $204.6 million at the domestic box office and $173 million overseas. The biggest opening for 2023 so far. And in related news, of course, Jack Black released the music video that we just heard.
Yes.
Which is pretty good. I like that. Pony Boy.
Swoosh.
Chong. Russell Crowe's character. He died in the original Gladiator.
Yes, he did.
Yeah.
Spoiler alert.
If you're
missing out on your 30-year-old movies, Pony, spoiler alert.
Oh, what? 23 years ago. Can you believe that movie's 23 years
old?
No,
I can't.
So it's not surprising Russell has nothing to do with the upcoming sequel because he's dead in the original.
Yes.
But he says it still stings a little. In fact, he admits that he's...
slightly jealous.
He says, quote,
I was a much younger man, obviously, and it was a huge experience in my life. It's something that changed life, really. It changed the way people regarded me and what I do for a living. Are you going to eat that last slice of pizza?
He added, quote,
you don't always get that kind of longevity with every film you do, so it obviously holds a special part.
Now I can say in my heart, but I want to say it the Australian way.
Yeah. Doing.
So it obviously holds a special place in me heart.
Oh, in me heart, yes.
Once a jolly swag man. Can't buy a Billy Bond.
He did not say that.
Of a coolie bar tree, and he sang as he washed and waited till his belly boiled. You'll come a waltzing Matilda with me.
Mike is paraphrasing.
Pony! The next time you go out to eat, don't show up in flip-flops and a tank top. A study found dressing up might get you better service. I totally get that.
Yeah.
Researchers at the University of Missouri had 222 waiters and waitresses look at pictures of random people and guess whether each person would leave a good tip or not. This seems pretty simple to
me,
really. It turned out they were much more likely to assume they'd get a good tip from people in dress clothes. So if you dress up, you might get treated better, and then you can surprise people and stiff them.
Exactly.
No, I didn't mean that. It could make an even bigger difference for guys. Well-dressed men were seen as the best tippers, and guys who dressed casually were expected to leave the worst tips.
I have a special tuxedo I wear to TGI Fridays.
Very exciting.
Yes.
You're going to be wearing a tuxedo on stage.
Yes, right? I am.
Very exciting. Pony Boy Matt Bloom. Are you going to change it up and give us different ones? I thought that was maybe what
you were
going to do. Someone just invited a new design concept for commercial airplanes that features no middle seats. This is intriguing to
me. I'm listening.
It isn't exactly roomier, but I don't know if I'd care. Instead of having one cabin with one aisle down the middle, there are three separate enclosed cabins with an aisle down the center of each. Two cabins are side by side. So I guess there are, like you go, there's a wall and there are two cabins and you're not in somebody's lap, you're up against a wall.
Okay, so it's either wall or...
I think that's what, isn't that what it sounds like
sounds
to you?
Like it, yeah.
Each of the rows has only two seats on each side of the aisle, but because this design packs three cabins into one, there are still more seats overall because the third cabin is above them. So you got two down the middle of the airplane, and then there's one on top of the two.
So they're not talking about retrofitting current airplanes.
Yeah, I would think they are, probably. Well,
is there enough? So there's like an upstairs? It's above them?
That's what they're saying. It's unclear how the emergency exits would work, but with less people on either side cabin, it's possible that they just use the side exits, while the top cabin would use the exits at the front and back of the plane.
Or ejector seats.
This is a concept for a conference at this point. Must be a European story, is it? We have this concept just for conference. I'll meet you at conference when you get back from university.
And then we're going to hospital after holiday.
I was in hospital. No one is planning to construct planes like this, so if it happens, it would be a retrofit. And it would also be a long way off.
Pew, pew, pew.
And now a little something, something.
Yes.
Police in Washington State are investigating a bizarre heist. Sounds like something out of a movie.
Yeah.
That left an Apple store with hundreds of thousands of dollars worth of iPhones stolen. According to police, the sneaky thief stole over 400 iPhones worth about $500,000 from the Alderwood Mall shopping store, Apple store, on April 2nd. Authorities say two burglars allegedly broke into the store next door after it was a coffee shop, after they cut through the wall, a large opening in the store's bathroom that connected directly to the Apple store. Mike Atkinson. Oh, get Atkinson. He's the CEO of Coffee Gear. Lots of coffee out in Seattle.
Yes.
He tweeted that he didn't even know the Apple store wrapped around his location. He said, I would have never suspected. We were adjacent to the Apple store. How it wraps around, I mean. So someone really had to think it out and have access to the mall layout. In another tweet posted by Atkinson, surveillance footage shows two suspects getting in and out of the store in under 15 minutes.
Wow.
Video from after the break-in shows the thieves relaxing in their favorite watering hole.
Wow. That's
you know
just
what
like,
their favorite watering hole is?
What's that?
The Genius Bar. yeah, it's Monday. Bear with me. All right. Hey, Pony, good job on the sound effects.
Thank you, Mike.
Get better ones for tomorrow.
I will.
Thank you.
when we come back, it's more Pony, more the time. Pony's dental nightmare.
Yes.
If it's bad, we'll stop the show.
Has this ever happened to you?
This guy saw me running. Thank He's you. Closing the door, pretending like he hasn't seen me I'm yelling.
Step up to a new experience in airline travel that's made for a powerful, sophisticated business leader like you.
I buy, you fly.
Santana Airlines shows you the difference between getting where you're going and leading the way.
It's not like we're in a hurry to go anywhere.
Santana Airlines, where everyone is treated like a CEO.
I'm a CEO.
I'm the president, she's vice president.
And as you enjoy the synergy of the amazing skies, use what little bandwidth you think is actionable and circle back to the amazing deals at the Mike O'Mara Shopping Center.
Leverage the value proposition of that low-hanging fruit. At the end of the day, it's a win-win. Just pivot and click the banner at MikeO'MaraShow.com.
It's amazing.
Hold that play!
Hey, do you need an afternoon reset? Do yourself a favor and snag 5 minutes for a Dadgrass toke break.
Yes.
They've also got Momgrass joints as the perfect pick-me-up to spark your creative flow, or the original Dadgrass joints to quiet your mind after your 9-to-5, man. Dadgrass, legal, organic, smokable hemp that relaxes your body and mellows your mind. Their 100% pre-rolled organic joints are very low in THC and high in CBD, so you can enjoy the effects of CBD while keeping a clear head. And if you want the toke without the smoke, Dadgrass also has a CBD tincture made with the same high-quality hemp. It's easy to dose, and the effects come on smooth. Or try the Dadgrass gummies, the best on the market. All the mellow goodness, no smoke required. Dadgrass will leave you in a euphoric mood, man. All Dadgrass products are federally legal for ages 18 and over, and it ships right to your door anywhere in the good old U.S. Right now, Dadgrass is offering TMOS listeners 20% off your first order when you go to dadgrass.com/TMOS. Go to dadgrass.com/TMOS for 20% off your first order. Remember, that's dadgrass.com/TMOS. And thank you, Dadgrass. We appreciate the patronage of the Mike O'Mara Show. So Friday, Ponebone, the pony man, the punster, yes. He was not on campus because I was told that he had major dental surgery.
Mm.
So Pony, it says you had a nightmare situation, a nightmare scenario.
It was absolutely horrible. The plan was to go in to have two wisdom teeth extracted.
Oh.
And showed up at about 8:30 in the morning. First person there, still took 45 minutes to get me in to actually see somebody. I don't know why or how.
But you know, you're scheduled to have a procedure, right?
Yeah.
So
yeah.
That's unacceptable probably when you're sitting there. Yeah.
Especially when you're the first person in the morning. But
and you insisted on that, right? I must be first.
I must always be first.
Did you get the impression that the folks that were responsible for doing your extraction weren't in the building yet?
That is a distinct possibility.
Oh, wow.
They probably have a different entrance.
I've had that happen when I've been first in the morning. Mm-hmm. I've had that happen. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking. Right. But you know, you have to wait always. That's just the way it is. So eventually, I got into the surgery area, and they went over the procedure, told me what they're going to do. I've done it before on the other side, and I thought I was going to get full anesthesia. I thought I was going to get an IV sedation, and they said, no, we can't do that because you came by yourself and I didn't have a chaperone, so I was going to have to
I interrupt you?
Yeah. Yeah.
And this is not to encourage this behavior, but I lie when they ask that.
Mm-hmm.
I just do. By the way, when I have my back stuff, I'm not getting anesthesia of any kind. I just get the needles, but because they're doing that procedure, do you have someone to drive you home? I said, yeah. Seriously, she laughs at me now because I go, yes, I do. but it's a little different when you're under general because you've got to recover.
Yeah.
You've got to recover. Yeah. And so did you make any kind of arrangements for, did you know they were going to put you under a general?
Well, so I thought they were going to, because that's what happened the last
sad
time.
Sad music, Rob Spiewak. But, yeah, that's what I'd be playing right now.
And
I mean, that's such a drag that you don't have anybody in your life that could help you.
Well, and I'm literally a stone's throw away from this place. Like, it's right next door my apartment.
Who's the man that's staggering out on Route 66?
Yeah. Did you walk to get there?
Yeah.
And so they wouldn't let you walk home under anesthesia?
Yeah. Like, I thought that was a little
ridiculous. So you said that to them, right? They said you don't have anybody to drive you home.
Yeah,
I'm
like
walking
you can
home.
See my apartment building from this window. It's right
there. But Pony,
there.
Hold on. In fairness to them.
But yeah.
You've seen the videos, right? Where people don't even know where they are when they are put under general anesthesia. Mm-hmm. It's kind of their policy.
Yeah.
Did you think at any time of saying, yes, my mom will be by to pick me up shortly?
I mean, I wasn't going to lie about it. And they also they felt uncomfortable with some of the medications that I take. They just didn't want to take any chances.
And so, you just said that you have, I have no chaperone, I have no family, and I have no friends.
I have no one, and I have nothing.
And I'm severely medicated. What could possibly go wrong?
I'm not at work today, and they don't seem to be missing me. It's God. Just yank them, doctor, please.
Get them out of me.
I'm under a lot of So they thought that perhaps...
I'll sleep here. Do you have a cot? A hide a bed.
What did they think? Did they think the meds that you were on might cause the anesthesia to work harder? Rob sleeps with the fishes.
Yeah. They thought it
Pony
might not
wins.
Put me out.
You brought this to us. Yeah. Like the interactions between the myriad of psychotropic drugs that you take and the
recreational.
Yes. Or that it might put you to sleep permanently?
Well, you can't have cocaine and general anesthesia. They just won't allow it.
Okay. So is the meeting with the person, are you talking to an anesthetist when you're doing this, or are you talking to a nurse?
I'm talking to the surgeon, to the oral surgeon.
Okay, so he's probably going to do the anesthesia too, or is he going to have somebody come in?
So it was a lady.
A lady, and, okay, very good.
What? No, she must have been a nurse.
Or a flight attendant.
Or a teacher.
Or a waitress. You see, people, we're mocking that era in Americana. Yes.
It was simply a joke.
Right, right.
Flight attendant.
You're the dentist? Get out of here. Come on now. Get out of here and get me a Danish.
Yeah, you know what? If she said that to me, I'd say, you're the dentist? Do you have someone to drive you home?
Wow. Man,
it's your husband.
Hey, you should, with a body like that, you could go places. These are all sexist terms. We apologize. We know
it's,
that
you
we
know
are
what it is, Mike. It's satire.
Woke.
It's satire.
Yeah,
that's
correct.
Yeah.
So, Pony.
Yes.
Is it the discussion with the physician? Is he surprised that it's going this way? Like, did he assume he was going to put you under?
No, not at all. They were under the assumption it would just be local anesthetic. And I said, all right, fine. That's cool. Whatever.
It's a pretty intense procedure to have done locally. Is this
I was
the same,
knocked out completely when I got mine.
Is this the same surgeon that did your other side?
No. That was a different guy in Springfield. He was really, really good doctor. Kind of wish I'd gone to him after what ended up happening.
Okay, well, let's continue now. So you decide you're going to do the procedure with a local anesthesia. Local anesthetic. Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Say. Right.
Local anesthetic and... nitrous oxide. So So they leave the room. They print up. Yes, I wish.
I fell out of the goddamn car.
they come back with a big sheet of paper saying that all right, here's what it's going to cost you, and by the way, your nitrous is not covered by your insurance. And I have pretty good insurance too.
How much they pop you for the nitrous?
For the nitrous, it was like an extra $200 out of pocket. So
sad, Pony.
Yeah.
So they give me the bill, and they're like, "We collect payment before operating." So I'm
of course
in the
they
chair.
Do.
Yes, well, that's Stan. That's SOP, yeah. Rob. You know that. You've been to Rob has the greatest insurance in the world.
Well,
or Carrie pays the bills.
Well, no,
he
it's
never has
no.
That
well, the thing is that I've been going to the dentist so long; they just bill us. So I mean, we don't have to pay up front, which is
that's good.
Something
that's
that a, I mean, the last you need in that situation is added pressure. Matt, I'm sorry you had to do that.
All right, so, but it's I pay a copay before I go in and get my procedure. You know,
do they
and
charge
it's a lot
you
of money.
Like, do they charge you in the chair with like all the tools around you?
No.
Yeah, that's what they did to me.
No, that's foolish. You do that at the front desk out front.
Sign on this iPad.
They had me run my card through like a Square, like one of the little
the little iPad
in an
things?
iPhone.
Oh,
they ran
God.
My card in an iPhone. It was accepted, and then they immediately like pounced on me and started getting to work.
Now was this. Was
now,
this
was
in a proper
I'm sorry,
office?
Go ahead. I interrupted, Rob. Go ahead.
I was going to say,
again.
Was this in a proper office, or where, do they operate like out of a van?
No, actually a very, very nice operation. Excellent, clean facility.
Nice
like,
molding.
Top notch. Yeah. Top notch.
Nice
means,
molding.
Means nothing, by the way. Sorry. I mean, really.
True.
They're all like that now.
Yeah.
Now that they get paid so much money, they're all like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, they all look like an Apple store.
They all look like a Ritz-Carlton is what they do. It's ridiculous.
That's right.
Doesn't have anything to do with the quality of service you're going to get. Sorry, I'm just saying that.
No, you're right.
There are plenty of good guys. I like my new guy. I like my new guy a lot. But okay, so where are we?
Yes, so they started the procedure. They started numbing me up, and I told them, just keep it coming. I'm resistant to the lidocaine, which is the stuff that they shoot you up with now to numb you up.
Instead of Novocaine.
Yeah. It barely does anything to me, so I just said, just keep it coming. Give me everything you can. And so they shot me up with about half as much as I needed. They start pulling the bottom tooth.
Hold on. Who are you to make that call?
Well, because I've had so many experiences where the lidocaine just doesn't do what it needs to do.
Is it because of your history with opiates?
No. Actually, it does have to do with my ADHD meds, though, because it.
So they kinda diminish the effects of local anesthetics.
Yes, absolutely.
At any point,
Did you tell the doctor that?
Yeah.
What did she say?
She said, "Well, we'll see how it goes, and then if you need more, we'll give you more." And I, of course, needed more.
At any point, did they say, like, before they started the procedure, like, grab your lip and say, "Can you feel this?"
They did, and I could feel this.
And you told them, and they said they're going to proceed anyway?
Yeah, and they said, we'll see how it goes.
Did you get the impression that they didn't buy it?
Yeah. I think they were like, whatever, this guy doesn't know what he's talking about. We'll just see, just give him the normal amount and then wait and see what happens. So they did that, and they started drilling with this huge, like, water drill. And I said, nope, I feel that. You're going to need to stop and give me more of the lidocaine, please.
I feel that.
I'm feeling all of this.
So you tell them immediately you're a communicative patient, which is what you want to be.
Yeah.
And this was right before they put this like big chalk in my mouth to like basically keep me from being able to bite down. So after that point, I couldn't talk anymore. And they started.
Well, here's a tip for you. Mm-hmm. If you're still feeling pain while you can't move your lips, you go, "Oh!"
I did. And they gave me more lidocaine, and eventually I just said, "F it, we need to just get this over with."
So the more they give you, it diminished it to a certain extent, right?
Yeah, to some degree.
But you still felt a lot of pain.
Yeah.
That sucks, Pony.
It was crap. So I'm sitting there and I'm listening to just like a podcast and in my headphones as they're starting to go to work on me, and they hit the laughing gas, and it's not funny. You don't laugh. I was so disappointed. I thought things were going to be happy
and
fun.
It makes you woozy and relaxed.
I just felt like I took like several shots of vodka or something. But it really
did. Wait, I'm listening.
That's okay, though, right?
Yeah, I mean, it takes the edge off a little bit.
Okay, good. So you're relaxed in the chair.
Yeah. So apparently the tooth on the bottom was too close to another tooth and was, like, too low, too close to a nerve. And they started going to work on me. And she's drilling, and eventually she calls in another doctor, and he comes and takes a look, and he's like, "Oh, we're gonna have to." And she's like, "Okay, we're gonna do another procedure called a coronectomy, where we just cut off the top of the tooth, smooth it over, and then stitch you up."
At any point prior to the procedure, had they taken X-rays?
They did.
And did they not spot the location of this tooth?
They said, there's like a little, there's like a small chance we might have to do something differently, but, you know, it should be fine.
Coronectomy is a technique used for wisdom teeth surgery where only the crown is extracted and the root or roots are left.
But isn't the root usually the problem?
Not necessarily. The top of the tooth is, with wisdom teeth at least, that's the part that's like
crowding and pushing. Yeah, sure. Okay, yeah. Now I get it.
So she starts doing this, and I'm like, she says, well, we're going to do this this procedure, and I'm like, okay, because what am I going to say? No. And
well,
so
you already paid.
Yeah, I want to get my money's worth. So apparently to do a coronectomy, they have to just like keep drilling and drilling and drilling.
Sounds painful.
It was.
Yeah, and unpleasant.
So they have to push so hard against your jaw that you feel like someone's trying to rip your jaw off.
Let's pause. Pony, yes. You're halfway through this. Let's take a break. Yeah. We'll finish this up when we come back. I didn't know it gets worse?
Oh, it gets much worse.
Oh, my God. Oh, all right.
That's good news for the listener.
Yes, it's fun for you.
Fun for everybody. Hello. I'm reading about a coronectomy.
That's fun.
The password is controversial. Uh-huh. We'll be right back.
It's the social event of 2023. TMOS Live in the Big Easy.
At the House of Blues. That's coming up on April 15th.
You've made all the plans to get there. Now find out what there is to do.
We're going
to
be hanging out with people and having a fantastic time.
P-A-R-T. Why? Because I... God.
And if you're looking for things to do, check out the TMOS Live in the Big Easy page on Facebook.
How delightful!
See and be seen with some of your favorite P1s.
Dan O'Brien is coming. Mo O'Brien.
Find out where Steve Kelsey will be passing out loofahs.
You know, your basic high school orgy type of thing.
And make your reservation for the seance in Rick Schofield's room.
When me and the spirit get together, we like to party all night.
The TMOS Live in the Big Easy page on Facebook. Your one-stop shop to plan for a weekend you'll never forget.
We're as excited as you all are. It's going to be great. Welcome back to the Mike O'Mara Show. This podcast is sponsored by Groove Life. Now, I'm holding in my hand the Groove Life wallet, which is really revolutionized the way I carry my credit cards and my cash. What you see right here is a tiny little rubber band, really. It's not a rubber band, but it's a strap.
An elastic strap, yeah.
Elastic straps keep your cash in there. You look at this. I got a little... It's like a credit card, but you can put cards in there, but it's a tile locate your keys device that I have, which really cool. And then when I want to get my credit cards out, boom, I just flip it up. And it's that easy, and it gives me up to 6 cards, and it's fantastic. If you're still using the same wallet from 2003, now is the time to update your wallet game. The Groove Wallet is a sleek, low-profile wallet that is engineered for everyday use. One simple thumbs-up motion. By the way, did you see the little rubber?
Yeah, for the thumb. It makes you grab it. Yeah, that's perfect.
Durable, high-quality aluminum outer shell. This wallet's unlike any wallet I've seen. I love it. Love their belts, too. With Groove Life's 94-year no BS warranty, the Groove Wallet is the last wallet you're ever going to need. Personally, we all love ours, and you're going to love yours, too. It is time to bring your wallet to the 21st century. Head to groovelife.com/TMOS and use promo code TMOS for 20% off all Groove Life products. That's the best offer you'll find. But you have to use my code TMOS for 20% off your order. One last time, that's promo code TMOS for 20% off your order. Just click the button on our website, and we are delighted to have you as a
awesome
sponsor
product.
Of Groove Life. We wish you nothing but the very, very best. Welcome back to the Mike O'Mara Show. Oscar is doing biz today, so he is not here. He will return on tomorrow's episode. We are doing our countdown to New Orleans, Louisiana, where we will be in the Big Easy for a very exciting live show on Saturday night, April 15th at the House of Blues. We do have a limited number of tickets available if you have any last-minute plans, and you can get your ass down to the Big Easy. We will have some tickets available for you, but tickets will sell as we get closer to the event, so please be mindful of that.
Grab them.
And don't get on a plane without checking to see if these tickets are available. We'll see you at the House of Blues Saturday night, April 15th, and really, really excited about that. Back to Pony Boy with what is called a coronectomy where they decide they're not going to get the whole wisdom tooth out. They're going to file down the crown and it's
yeah, they drill it down.
Pain.
Drill it down and smooth it off. And to do this, they have to use a drill that is not like the drill they use for cavities, like the little drill. This is like, I mean, it might as well have been like a DeWalt drill that like sprays water everywhere.
Wow. We need the Dremel. Yeah. Get the Dremel, please.
Was it cordless?
No. Here's the fun part was it has this big suction tube on it, and they made the tube clear so that the dentist can see if like the suction's working. But the great thing is when it's right over your face, you just see a bunch of blood getting sucked out, and you're like, oh my God, oh my God. And they have me hooked up to a heart monitor, so you can hear my heartbeat like raising every time the like blood shoots by the tube.
By the way, are you a dental phobe?
Yes, I am.
You're a dental phobe too.
Very much so.
Oh my God! Hadn't you let them know all this?
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Oh, God.
That's why this was like borderline traumatic.
So you chose this lady. Because of proximity to where you live.
Yeah, proximity and recommended by my dentist. And in all fairness, she was fine. She was great. She did a very good job given the circumstances. Her assistant was wonderful. They were great to me.
But okay.
What was not great.
But it's just, it was the procedure itself.
The procedure itself was a nightmare. And they had an assistant there so I think this might be a family run practice.
Is it the Duggars?
Possibly.
Are you saying, so you had, how many people were in the room doing with the
Three.
Procedure going?
Ten.
Three.
So you have
two
one you like, you like the main lady, you like the main lady dentist, you like the one assistant, but then the third assistant you had a little issue with?
Yeah, the third assistant is
I've dropped the tool.
I don't think they let him touch the tools.
Oh, it was a guy.
Yeah.
Why so is the cork on the guy. Fork?
A young guy, and what was the big malfunction with him?
So his job, he has one job and one job only, and that is to hold my jaw in place while they are like forcefully drilling down into my tooth.
So essentially he's pushing up on your chin.
He's supposed to be.
Too. Yeah.
His job is to push upward on my jaw and chin so that I don't have to use my jaw muscles to hold my jaw in place as they're forcefully drilling me.
His job is to put his balls on your chin.
Stop it. That's not what he does.
I wouldn't have cared. If he just did his job right, he could do whatever the hell
he
wanted.
So was he holding your jaw too firmly?
He was too timid hold my jaw. And I'm like, at this point, the laughing gas has got me kind of loopy. And I'm thinking in my head, I'm like, is it the laughing gas or is this going to be great on the show? Like, maybe it's not funny and I just think it's funny. And all these things are going through
trust
my head.
Trust me, it's funny.
Is it funny or not funny? Deal or no deal?
It's one of your all-time great stories, in my opinion.
So this guy, I want to like scream at this guy to just hold my damn jaw. I wish it was that. It was a louder, bigger drill
like
than that.
This?
Yes. 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 And blood.
Just a moment, Mr. Place. Bloom. Kenny? Kenny, can you hold his jaw steady, please, Kenneth? There we go. Oh, that's not coming out. That's it. Seems to be awfully close to the other tooth here. Hello?
Yeah.
Wow.
This goes on for no less than like 25 or 30 minutes.
I might give it all to you now. I don't need to be here. My sound effects board's not necessary. I can focus on playing the camera. Anyway, all right, so what happened after that? How did the date end?
It was about 30 minutes of this guy not holding my jaw, and basically I had to reach up and hold my own jaw, and my whole
And you're loopy.
Head, yeah.
And the jaw being held is for stability because they're pounding down, so they're drilling down so hard on you.
Yeah. Like imagine like pulling down on your jaw and trying to close your mouth, and having to just use your jaw muscles for like 30 minutes to do this. My whole like face cramped up and it was extraordinarily painful. And all you hear is like drilling and cracking and crunching. And they finally finish up They're like, all right, Mr. Bloom, we're moving on to the top.
Using a hydraulic lug nut remover.
It is. It's an impact wrench. It's exactly. I wish it were
Let
that
me
fast.
Ask this. Yes. And stay tuned for an inappropriate sexist comment.
All right.
The dentist, was she attractive?
You know what? I'd say, yeah, sure. Sure.
I went to a dentist one time that was, it was hard for me to concentrate on anything. She was so lovely.
Wow.
Yeah. Anyway, I digress. Sorry, people. People get pissed off for that in 2023. So they finished. You're in pain.
Well, yeah. So they finished the bottom and then they're like, all right, we're moving on to the top now. And
did you think it was over when they finished the bottom?
I didn't know what I thought.
You didn't know what's going on. You're all loopy on meds
and beaten to S. And I said, all right, whatever, just do it. And that one took like 10 minutes. That one came out very quickly. And not a lot of that, just a lot of like crunching and cracking and snapping. And
do you
just,
have crunching and cracking? Rob, it's the cell phone.
God, it's
cell phone.
Yes,
all right,
it's
exactly. All right, Mr. Bloom, if you could just lie your head back a little bit in the chair. Give me an estimate of how long it's going to take.
I need 30 seconds.
30 seconds?
Yeah.
All right, yeah. Mr. Bloom, we seem to have finished. We're all set with the coronectomy. Oh, it went very, very well. Sorry that Kenny didn't hold your jaw a little tighter.
Kenny!
We're fine with that. But what we're going to do now is we're going to go to the top one. Mm-hmm. And I've got a little tool here, and let's see if we can get that. We'll reach up to the roof of your mouth and we will see if Rob has the sound effect, which is not available. That's okay. And we're done. Thank you.
Aww.
Okay. Let's move on, Pony. All right.
Anywho, they finally finished everything up and they packed me with gauze and they brought me back out into the waiting room area. And then they had to do another x-ray to make sure like everything went smoothly and the guy who couldn't hold my jaw in place. Yeah, so that guy is responsible for putting on my lead apron for the x-ray thing. And I'm like, no, I'm not letting him like F this up. I'm going to make sure this thing covers everything.
Oh, do you worry about that? I mean, we're all going to die of something. I would not.
I know.
I'm wearing a lead apron right now.
I know, could put it on my chest if I was getting a x-ray. It wouldn't matter. You know?
He's going to aim the thing at my balls. I just know it.
Pony, thank you for that wonderful story. How are you feeling today?
Awful.
I'm sorry to hear that. Awful.
Did the segment help? Did the segment
help? It did, actually,
help?
Yes.
See, that's good.
It was good to get that out.
I really hope that the roots don't migrate in a mesial or coronal direction in your case. We'll take a break and we'll come back with... Sound Town right here.
Flip side,
sorry.
How's it going, Mike?
I have an issue with printer streaking.
A disembodied voice
says, is it a laser printer? Yeah.
The solution was on the other side of this wall.
That's right.
Saying nothing.
Yeah.
He's like, no, just shake it.
Oh, that's not going to work. Just take the cartridges out and shake them.
Ichabod weighs in with shake it.
Shake it, right.
Are you having technical issues with the Mike O'Mara Show or the TMOS Bonus Show?
That's right.
Have you tried unplugging it and plugging it back in? Never fear. Just email Ichabod at MikeO'MaraShow.com and shake it one time for me, honey.
And that's all.
You know, Rob, yes. I feel like a father that has trained someone that Pony takes his misery and in the middle
yes.
of his horrific procedure, he is thinking about the show
and
how he will present it to us. That warms my cockles.
Yes.
Like nothing
you know
else.
What that
Way
means,
to go,
Mike,
Pone Bone.
That means through all that we've been through,
yes.
we are still his happy place.
I love it. Yes. I love it. Because really, when something's going that bad, and I'll have a story about the barber tomorrow.
Yes.
I don't have a haircut. I did it myself. Probably looks like that. I had that same thing. It's called being invisible. Spring is officially sprung. Maybe I could say that again. Spring has officially sprung,
yes.
and it's definitely getting warmer. Here in Florida, it's downright toasty. That's why I need to stay hydrated, and I do it, ladies and gentlemen, with my Liquid IV.
There it is.
Yes, sir. Liquid IV in just one stick. You get 5 essential vitamins and 2 times faster hydration than water alone. Use it first thing in the morning, before a workout, when you feel run down after a long night out or on long flights. So convenient to use, and Liquid IV is made with premium ingredients. And by the way, you don't have to drink your Liquid IV out of a Shakey's pizza cup like I do every day, all right?
It's your legendary pizza franchise
pizza,
cup.
It's a Pizza Hut cup. Liquid IV is non-GMO, free from gluten, dairy, and soy. Do you like flavor? Oh, my God. Carl and I were talking about the Goofy Grape. It's not called Goofy Grape.
But it's so
great.
Good.
Sea berry is a new flavor. Strawberry, lemonade flavors. Grape is fantastic. Liquid IV still has all your favorites, too. Even better, Liquid IV is on a mission to change the world. Liquid IV has donated over 39 million servings in over 50 countries around the world. Plus, it's convenient and oh so delicious. It's the best way to start your day. So be like me, drink Liquid IV. Grab your Liquid IV in bulk nationwide at Costco, or you can get 20% off when you go to liquidiv.com and use code TMOS at checkout. That's 20% off anything you order when you shop Better Hydration today using promo code TMOS at liquidiv.com.
Hello.
So we talked a little bit about the Masters. We're pleased with the coverage. It looked fantastic in 4K, but something happened that I'd never seen before was two trees fell down on the 17th hole on Saturday.
Horrible
stopping
weather
play.
Front came through.
Yes.
Yeah.
And it wasn't carried, I believe, on the main broadcast, but this is the only audio I was able to find of the trees actually falling. And you got two commentators here that really don't know what to do. And the funny thing is, you'll hear a prolonged silence at the end of this where they just cut to a static shot of Hogan Bridge. So it's like they got no idea how to handle this.
It's just not got the legs for Sergio. And the pink today.
Oh, good gracious. Watch out.
Oh, my God.
Word. Everybody is okay.
Holy smokes.
I like her.
Mm-hmm. And then just a static shot
they
of Hogan
stopped.
Bridge.
I think that's the Irish lady, and I don't know who she is, but I'm going to find out.
She was I turned it on early on Sunday morning, and she was doing all the coverage on the high def channel or the 4K channel.
I mean, she's new. And by the way, speaking of the Masters, Trevor Immelman, who replaced Sir Nick Faldo as the number one commentator next to Jim Vance, our buddy. Jim Nance, Trevor Immelman, impeccable. Impeccable. I mean, it was so well done. It was so well covered, and it just made for an interesting day where they had to squeeze two rounds or half of one round and a full round for some guys in the morning. They just did a beautiful job. The Masters did a good job of it. It was really good.
It was a golf nuts. It was like a perfect day for anyone that loved to watch it. So it was fun. Mike, this is my favorite thing this weekend, but it requires a little setup. Now, you know the artist Shaggy, right? All right. And he did this song called It Wasn't Me. It's a good song, and it was a big hit. But there's an impressionist, a singing impressionist I found on TikTok. His name is Levi Foster, and you're going to like this. He does Shaggy's It Wasn't Me, but not as Shaggy. He does it as Jerry Reed.
Yay! Well, Holly came in and she caught me red-handed creeping with the girl next door. Picture this, we were both butt naked banging on the bathroom floor. How could I forget that I had given her an extra key? All this time she was standing there and she never took eyes on me.
Works.
How can you
it
give
does.
Your woman access to your villa? Trust
tells you a lot about
while
music.
You cling to your pillow.
Yeah.
Better watch your back before she turn into a killer. Let's review the situation that you caught up in and be a true player. You have to know how to play. If you stay all night, you convince her to stay a day. Never admit to a word
that
she's saying she claiming you.
Rob, I don't want to overstate it.
Yeah.
That is one of the most brilliant things, too.
Isn't it great?
To just come up with the concept of it. It's not novelty. It's just the lyrics work so well in that format as well.
I know. I watched
stunningly
it about 10
great.
Times. He also does a great Johnny Cash.
Oh, you watched him? You see him sing it?
Yeah, he's a great guitarist.
And he sounds so much like Jerry.
Yeah, but anyway, so check him out. His name is Levi Foster, and it was my favorite thing this weekend. Now,
that's great.
A lot of us, and listeners included, will be flying this weekend, or this week, getting ready for this weekend. Don't be like this guy. He was in first class. and he demanded a pre-flight drink and was denied his pre-flight drink.
Oh, no. It's a, hey, for the, is he older guy?
Middle-aged, I would say.
Okay, middle-aged. There was a time.
Yeah.
You play for that first-class ticket. They got the booze in your hand before anybody even gets on the plane.
Well, don't handle it like this. And I want you to know that I didn't carry the entire video. At the end, he is in the jetway being handcuffed and he lost a tennis shoe. But this is this is what happened when he just didn't do right.
Hey, don't you stole my phone. You stole my phone?
No, that's
fine. I'm allowed to record. Give me my phone. Okay, I'll get up. Stop.
Get up.
Let's go.
He will eventually start weeping.
Because he had a tantrum.
Get up, Black. Stop.
Give that man a vodka tonic, please.
Wow.
So don't do that, all right?
Yeah. And I don't know why. You know, I've never been on one of these flights. I don't know what the hell I'd do. I mean, it must be so scary.
Well, it's bad enough. Even if you are not a phobic flyer, there's nothing pleasant about flying,
right.
And it's a stressful situation. I mean, it's not getting your teeth drilled stressful, but it's still pretty bad. Mike, I close with this. I wanted to do something Masters related. There's a comic I like very much named Dave Attell, and he talks about playing mini golf while he's on acid.
We went to play miniature golf on acid, putt-putt on acid. What a mistake. For 3 days, I thought I was the king of that little town. I was like, hello. Hello, putt-putt people. You in the windmill, let me use your bathroom. And like all good drug stories, it always ends with, officer, the cuffs are hurting me. I guess what I'm trying to say is I want to have a family. I don't want children.
Mike, that's all I got.
That's it. We got to get out of here. We'll be back with the whole team tomorrow. Oscar was having a meeting today that he had to go to.
Yes.
He will be back tomorrow in the fold. And Pony, I really do hope you feel better, buddy.
Great job, really, Matt.
I'm getting
that. That was wonderful to hear. Our pleasure is your pain, or vice versa, or whatever it is. For Matt Bloom and Rob Spiewak and our buddy Oscar, this is Mike O'Mara saying so long. See you next time, everybody.
Ciao, ciao.
Want more? Make sure you check out the Mike O'Mara Bonus Show. Get it at MikeO'MaraShow.com.
Mike O'Mara, Radio Entertainment.